Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, good evening. This is Chef Suardo. Welcome to Foodomania Meets Quarantine Mania. On this eve of 4th of July, I thought we'd tonight's show will spend the last now left about 28 minutes, almost 29 minutes left to the end of the 4th of July holiday, and also the end of our nighttime show. So thank you for spending it with me. I wanted to talk about something real quick. I know a lot of us out there and in here have pets, dogs, and even cats. And, you know, they say that basically, you know, these our animals have such incredibly high sensitivity to the noise in that low frequency. They can hear high sounds, of course, that we can't really hear. And they also can hear and feel the low, really low sounds like the explosion. So basically, they always put out these flyers every year, about a week or so before 4th of July. This year, of course, the public display from the city in a lot of local areas, I think there's only one island, maybe San Juan Island, that had regular fireworks scheduled, but everybody else canceled as far as official county-run fireworks. And but they made up for it big time. The people I know who run some of the firework places, just talking to a guy today that I know whose family runs several of those stores, and they said this has been the biggest year they've had in a long time. Sad but true. They said it's bittersweet. It's great for their business, but, you know, a lot of people are hurting, so especially in the Native community. So this is a really big, huge help. So we just say, you know, great. And I said, what do you have to say about it? He says they're very thankful, and they just wanted to put the message out to always be safe and be really thoughtful and mindful when you're setting these things off. Technically, it's not legal, but, you know, people are going to do it anyway. So as far as the pets are concerned, and I guess the point is that you're going to hear a lot more, and the pets will probably experience this year, as all of us, a lot more volume and noise tonight. I know I've been listening, and it's still pretty active out there, but somewhere we started about 8 o'clock, and it peaked at about 10:30. And so basically, you know, you keep your pets close to you. You create a little safe haven for them. Is there like a sort of a sheltered little area and an escape-proof part of the house? In other words, don't accidentally leave the screen door open or the pet door open, because all our beautiful little animals have been known to just get freaked out and run out that door, and they'll take off and they'll go hide someplace. It's just a natural instinct. No, they're not doing it to make you feel bad, but just, you know, you have to just be sort of aware of it and realize that more pets go missing also around this time than any other time. So keep your pets safe, and if scarily what they sort of take off or somebody kind of disappears, don't panic. They're going to be fine. They'll probably just be hiding someplace, and they'll come out when they feel safe. All right, enough pet chatter. So I hope everybody had a really good day today. It's been, you know, weather that you just, if they can bottle it up and sell it. Like a couple of days of beautiful Pacific Northwest weather. I'd be sending gift bottles to everybody I know all over the country, because we're so lucky we have the weather that we have here. All right, so a lot of different things are going on. Of course, you know, the bittersweetness that's happening as far as our day-to-day routines, and a couple of steps, always steps forward. You know, our philosophy, especially at Foodomania, is let's always you know, be hopeful and you know, put it out there and do the right thing and ask for help when you need it and rely on yourself and rely on the good people around you and rely, of course, on your higher power and, of course, God to guide us through. But we're gonna, you know, we're going to talk about it realistically, and we're going to have some, you know, different conversations in all our different households and at work and with different friends and neighbors. But the consensus and the most important thing that everybody can do to stay connected and to keep it as safe as we can, make a change in this, is to just continue to socially distance, of course, and don't take it for granted. If you go to a store, you know, you got to wear your mask. And if you're out in public, you wear your mask. And if you show up at a place that you need to do an errand at, and it's really, it's crowded, and you're noticing that a lot of people are not preparing themselves in that way that you respectfully need to, then I would decide to, you know, unless it was something that was unbelievably important, I'd get back in my car and I'd head back home or to a possibly quieter store. You know, you have to do this at the right time. You got to time it out. You got to think about what you want to get. You have to think about the time of day. And, you know, they've been very gracefully, most of the businesses, especially the markets, have set up special shopping times for certain people who may have preconditions that might be more effective to Gothenburg than, you know, coming down with a positive on this. So they've set early hours, 6 to 7 in the morning, most markets, 6 to 9. The pharmacy has the first hour of their business between 9 and 10 completely, as far as the pharmacy business, seniors first, people who have medical needs. So there's ways you can arrange your outings and still feel safe, because I think, I don't know, I have a feeling that more and more people are starting to understand how important it is to wear the mask and be safe. And by the way, if you're in a place, unless somebody's being really thoughtless and really, you know, spitting or yelling or screaming and not wearing a mask, if you're compelled to want to say something to somebody, then just try to get their attention and do it in a one-on-one, the quietest way you can, without an accusatory, you know, tone of your voice or some, you know, I'm better because I'm wearing my mask. Listen, there's no question about it. It's a 100% a need for people to do. But there are some of the people who drank a little bit of the Kool-Aid a little earlier in the last few weeks and are buying into the rebellious part of it, or it makes you less human, or it decides what political party you're in. None of the people who are very sick right now are talking about political parties when they're trying to get their stats conveyed to the doctors that are hopefully going to be able to treat them and take care of them. Praise God, save their life. Or how hard it would be if that doctor couldn't, and they had to go talk to the family members to give them the bad news. It's never been a joke. It's no longer something we could take for granted. I've dedicated 147 shows to date since the 13th of March to try to talk about the same stuff. We started out on such a scary couple of weeks, and then we came together, all of us, and came up with ways to handle it, ways to deal with it. We've waited out the lengthy process to be able to get back to work or get unemployment and get those benefits going, or make sure that we had what we needed in the house and our bills organized and our family members safe. And we were starting to make headway, and then 3 to 4 weeks ago, things started to happen a little quickly. And you can't blame anybody except for the fact that this is something that we didn't expect. We thought we'd have a better this part of the summer. And it turns out that we were wrong. So that's where all the caution comes in. All right. Enough. Never enough, but we We hope that we're getting that message to y'all for sure. All right, so in the news, definitely some. I was wondering today, and I was thinking, I didn't check on this. I'm going to have to do it. But, you know, on the 4th of July, every year, for many years, we have the Nathan's, beautiful Nathan's hot dog stand pioneered in Coney Island, originally started by Nathan Feltman. Feltman's was actually the original hot dog stand on the beach. Anyway, so basically today would be the day that the beautiful Nathan's in Coney Island would host the world championship hot dog eating contest, and it's usually televised. And then the last 10 or 15 years, it's literally become, almost like a sporting event as far as how they call it. It's just fantastic. So I would suggest that we'll have to do a little bit of research right now as the show progresses and see if they did it. I'm trying to think of the only thing I could think of, they might have done it virtually. So it says that they did it. They did it. Okay, so here it is. Yep, people wearing masks. Okay, so I'll give you the lowdown on it right now. And one of the most famous hot dog eaters in the world and food eaters in the world is Joey Chestnut. And I believe Joey Chestnut and Mico Cito crushed the hot dog contest again. Yes, it happened. They did it. And I'll give you the details. So they did have it today, and they had it in a safe, looks like in a safe place. And thank goodness. And, yeah, it happened. It was Joey Chestnut and Mico Cito, after winning their respective divisions with new world records at Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest on Saturday. Joey Chestnut dogged 75 wieners and buns in 10 minutes to win his 13th title. Wow, okay, 10 minutes. Think about this. 75 wieners. So it's about 4.5 hot dogs a minute, roughly. Wow. No, it's more like, 5.5. Anyway, yes, that's a lot. And somewhere around 8 minutes, he basically broke the record. So he broke the record in 8 minutes, his own record. Good for him. And by the way, this is the 1,000th career dog he ate today. History is 1,000 since he's been in competition. So this year they allowed betting, and the virus forced us some changes to spectators that weren't allowed to watch in person. That's what they had to write on special, probably Zoomed it. And the competitors were separated by clear plastic barriers, but each had their own barrier. And the people bringing them fresh supplies wore masks and gloves. But, wow. And then second place was in the women's division, Zmiko Cito. She's, like, incredible. She was incredible. She's about half the size of Joey Chestnut. And she did great. You know, professional eating, competitive eating has really, become a real big deal over the last few years. And, if you check, there used to be Adam Rich, who did Man vs. Food, and that was one of the first shows that ever did competitive eating or just these contests or these dares. And I love Man vs. Food. Years ago they stopped. Adam left it several years ago. I don't know the exact story, but for the most part, he changed that stuff that he put into his body. God bless that guy. He's amazing. But you don't really train your digestive system. I guess you can do it by maintaining it, but you can't really train your digestive system other than to keep it in the highest maintenance, which, when you're eating that much intensity. Now, there's several different competitive eaters that, are doing this on a regular basis since Adam, and he even had a replacement, and who took over the show, and he's great. I'm sorry, I can't think of his name right now. And then there's a few other competitors that are just amazing. There's actually two of my favorites. It's Beard versus Food. It's from Wales in England. And then his counterpart, who's just, oh my gosh, just, you know, the amount that people can actually eat, you know, in a certain amount of time and what they do. And I've seen different people doing competitive eating that was just trying to get through it as far as numbers were concerned, you know. And what I mean by that is, like, they wanted to do, you know, the contest was break the record. They have to eat 31 pounds of ground beef in 17 minutes, you know, whatever it is. But I love, and some people do it, and they are basic mechanics. They go in and they absolutely eat. You know, they plan it out. They organize themselves, their body. They work out for it. They can do it. But I love the people. The icing on the cake for me, no pun intended, are the eaters, head of eaters that love the food. And actually, within their recaps, they're talking about, you know, this is a good burger. You know, I really never liked onions, but these onions are really quite good, you know. So they're actually complimenting how delicious everything is. So if you're sitting there watching it, when you see somebody really enjoying it, even though they're eating through the stream, there's something to me that, as a chef, there's a lot, I just enjoy it a lot more than the people that just engulf. So I really respect them too. But I think it's become more of a, part of the competition is now just so much, not so much just the quantity and the weight of the stuff that you consume in the time frame, but I think it's more of what the personal journey of that 25 minutes is going to be and how you're going to ride it along as if you're actually eating it and seeing all these different things. I like some people separate their food. Okay, they're doing this giant breakfast challenge, for instance. So it's like 20 scrambled eggs, 15 pieces of bacon, 30 pieces of sausage, 8 pieces of French toast, 8 large breakfast tea sausages, 7 large pancakes, 6 waffles, then 2 quarts of yogurt, 2 pounds of strawberries and melon balls mixed together with a half of a pound of granola. All right, now we didn't get to the cinnamon buns yet. We have 3 large cinnamon buns, the size of a medium-sized pie plate from edge to edge. We have 6 English muffins and 6 pieces of toast. We have a quart of sausage breakfast gravy and 8 biscuits to accompany it. That's the meal. That's the challenge. And it's got to be done in under 35 minutes. Now, you know, I'm glad that they have a longer time on this because I honestly think that any of us that have been really hungry and we just got our food and we just literally wolfed it down and it was great, but, you know, we paid prices for some kind of indigestion on the way home or just feeling stuffed or excessive, you know, just trying to straighten out your body from that incredible feast you just had. So the point being with all this stuff, it's the whole competitive eating thing is amazing. I'm glad that they took it and took care of it and did the tradition today. And even though, you know, we're through this thing, some things stay the same. So congratulations, Joey Chestnut. All right. This is Chef Duardo Chestnut, Chef Duardo Nut. And I just, I think it's just, you know, I think it's just fun. A couple of really good things I want to talk about. Now, I, 2 movies. Real fast, that I got an email today because I had mentioned these the other night in the show, and I'll just give you my quick summation, things that I think are really worth spending time on. If you want to be surprised, it's just, okay, so here's the deal. It's like going to a beautiful, Oaxacan sort of style Mexican restaurant, a fusion restaurant, where you're expecting some very incredible grilled meats and homemade tortillas, and you know exactly what it's going to taste like. It's something totally expected. It's just how good it's going to be. In other words, you've had these flavors before, but how much great is this place going to be? And you go, and your expectations are high, and you're tasting stuff, and everything's wonderful. And then suddenly you take a bite into your tortilla, and instead of a tortilla, it ends up being something that tastes like a buttermilk pancake. When you go into your plate and you open up the little cover over the top, instead of a beautiful couple of little mountains of beautiful Spanish rice with fresh tomatoes in it and chili powder and paprika and oregano and butter and you know that's going to go great with your whatever your meat might be and your fresh tortilla. And you did that and you opened it up and guess what it was? It was grilled apricots with nuts and roasted walnuts in it. This is so crazy. But you start putting things together and you taste these things and all of a sudden you are you're totally eating something that is so delicious and so great, but it's the last thing you expected. You were going to the cantina and you ended up at a IHOP. All right, crazy example. All right, that's what these two movies are about. The first movie is Irresistible, Jon Stewart's incredible film. He is a great filmmaker. It's a very, very unique film that uses his vision that was very familiar during his time in The Daily Show to paint a picture of a political story, basically, about the overview of it. It's like the people who sort of do the polling and make the decisions thought that they can actually use their knowledge, and they found what they thought was a little teeny small town in the Midwest, and a local candidate for a possible position as a mayor, and a very small population, about just a few hundred people in the town. But this incredible person as a mayor, somehow on the local news station, a little clip of a little speech that he made at one of his rallies came out, and it was so incredibly heartfelt and so wonderful that the big boys said, ha-ha, we're going to get behind this candidate, we're going to go there, and we're going to walk it through the election. This is going to, we're going to put, this is going to enable, he's going to be the spokesman for everything that we believe in. Thinking that they would use their skills and their you know, years of experience politically to use this as a sort of wag the dog situation. In other words, almost like that movie with David Jansen many movies ago called Maroon, where it was a spacecraft that was marooned on the moon, only to find out the whole thing was actually not really on the moon. It was in a background of a Hollywood studio. It was actually a farce. So same kind of thing. That's Irresistible. Something that you'll really like. Good filmmaking, amazing acting. Something that really will touch you and surprise you. All right. The other movie is the incredible, incredible total turnaround as well on Netflix. And this is Will Ferrell and, you know, his new movie. And holy smoke. It is, made specifically for release on Netflix. Normally it probably would have been in the theaters. And let me tell you what, very, very funny. It's basically everything that, you know, we see in all our American Idol-type shows or America's Got Talent and that sort of thing, we have in this movie, which is kind of just a, kind of almost like a farce of the America's Got Talent stuff. And this is basically kind of a fictitious story about a contest called the Eurovision Song Contest, which happens, guess what, in Europe. And he plays a singer, and he has a compadre who is absolutely his, you know, female best friend. They grew up together, and they just worked their way from the dream and hope of the possibility that maybe with a little luck, his character is Lars Eriksson, and he is going to make it with his incredible partner and bandmate, Sigurd Erik Stoltzdier, which is brilliantly played by Rachel McAdams. That's all I'm going to tell you about it. But it's a Will Ferrell, it's kind of a farce. But it's got some, you know, some, I guess, it's got some good feel good moments. Just sometimes we just need to zone out for an hour or two. Stupid humor in the sense when I say, and I don't like to use that word, so I take that back. You know, humor that's silly. Silly is a better word. And you know, silly stuff that, you know, some people are going to find really funny and just crazy, and some people go, oh, stupid. But I think it's just a good excuse to laugh. And I'm thinking, you know, we can all use that every day. So those two movies. And actually, you know, Irresistible is also a little bit funny, has its funny moments. Now, you think of the title, Irresistible. Okay. Think about that title, too, a little bit. And as you don't make any decisions too much on it, but think about it. And after, or as you're watching, after you see the movie, I'd love to hear some feedback on that word that's buried in the title. Like, irresistible. You know what I'm talking about. All right. So, I mean, that's it. It's been a really, like I said, bittersweet day. I want to just put our feelings and our love out there to all the COVID-19 families. We're all in the same family, so to speak, but the ones that have unfortunately been diagnosed, the ones that are in quarantine right now, I hope the quarantine will just let it pass and you will not have a hard time. And then our other brothers and sisters and kids and aunts and uncles that are a little bit sicker, we're praying and thinking about you all, and especially all our loved ones that have lost somebody close to them. You know, I don't want to know what that could feel like, but we're here for you and we're praying with you and for you. On a positive note, we're all in this together. Be smart. Just take care of each other. Tomorrow's Sunday. We have a major holiday on Saturday. A lot of people are going to continue to be with friends and family, people who might still have the day off tomorrow. But a lot of people are, you know, places that are up and are working. So just enjoy your Sunday as well. Thank you for tuning into me. Thank you for tuning into Plutomania. And I'll be back here tomorrow at 10 in the morning to hear and see you there. This is the theme from Quarantine Mania. Have a good night, everybody.